You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Our fast-paced society has come up with many amazing inventions, and one that is not amazing but gets your attention is the speed bump. You know the speed bump? A bump on the road that was put there to make you slow down. When I see a sign telling me that one is coming, I often feel irritated. I'm going someplace. Maybe I'm in a hurry, and I resent someone or something trying to slow me down. A little voice within me says, "Don't slow down. Just keep on going at your present speed and hit that bump as if it weren't there." I usually don't do that, not only because it would damage my car, but because I know the bump is there for a good purpose. So I slow down willingly, crawl over the bump, and then I accelerate. This talk about speed bumps is the introduction to today's topic. And that topic is your busy schedule. Call today's topic time management if you want to help you avoid a physical or emotional crash because you're living at too fast a pace. You need times in your schedule that slow you down. And the Bible has the best speed bump of all to help you pace your schedule. It's called Sabbath. Let me tell you about Sabbath, the way it was kept back in the days of the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the Sabbath was a time of scheduled rest. It goes back to the creation of the world. God made the world in 6 days, and he rested on the seventh. Because of that, the ancient Israelites observed the seventh day, Saturday, as a day of rest. As time went on, that scheduled time of rest became even more important. When the Israelites were rescued by God from their slavery in Egypt, God told his liberated people to observe the seventh day by remembering how he had freed them. Deuteronomy chapter 5 says, "Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you will labor and do all your work, but the seventh is a Sabbath for the Lord your God. You are not to do any work. Remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a strong hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day." Think about that. God had liberated his people. He freed them from slavery. And so God said, "You will take a day off. Really off. No work that you brought home from the office. No honeydew jobs around the house. No work, period. You will take a day off. Because you're a free people. You shouldn't become slaves to work. You shouldn't be oppressed by your schedule." The purpose of the Old Testament Sabbath was to slow God's people down, to savor their freedom. It was a God-given spiritual speed bump. Sabbath was more than a day in the Old Testament. God also ordered rest every seventh year. Every seventh year was to be a year off. Leviticus 25 says, "6 years you shall sow your field, and 6 years you shall prune your vineyard and gather in its fruit, but in the seventh year there shall be a Sabbath of solemn rest for the land, a Sabbath to the Lord. You shall neither sow your field nor prune your vineyard." One whole year off. Imagine what that would be like. And again, the purpose of the sabbatical year was to slow God's people down, to savor their freedom, a spiritual speed bump. In Leviticus 25, God has still more to say about time management for his Old Testament people. After 7 sabbatical years, there was to be another year off. That's right. And this was called the Year of Jubilee. Leviticus 25 says, "You shall consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you." The text goes on to describe a year of rest, freedom for slaves, cancellation of all debts, and many other good things. More freedom built into their schedule. When it came to managing their time, God wanted his people to slow down and savor freedom. Spiritual speed bumps. Today, many of you are oppressed by your schedules. You wake up in the morning depressed because of all the things you have to do. An article in the April 8th issue of Time magazine said this: in a Time CNN poll of 500 adults, 69% of the people surveyed said they would like to slow down and live a more relaxed life, in contrast to only 19% who said they would like to live a more exciting, faster-paced life. A majority of those polled, 61%, agreed that earning a living today requires so much effort that it's difficult to find time to enjoy life. Most people today want a speed bump. You want something in your schedule that will slow you down. A yearly vacation isn't enough. Each week, each day, you need something to slow you down, something to help pace you. You need an up-to-date, modern, doable version of the Sabbath, and God has it for you. Early in his ministry, Jesus returned to Nazareth, the town where he had been raised. One day, a Sabbath day, in fact, he went into the synagogue. Upon entering the synagogue, St. Luke tells us that Jesus stood up to read and was given the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. Unrolling the scroll, he found the place where it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to announce freedom to prisoners, to announce the restoring of sight to the blind, to set free those who have been oppressed, to announce an acceptable year of the Lord." Jesus said that he was anointed to preach the gospel, that's the good news of God, and to announce freedom to the oppressed. He said that he had come to announce an acceptable year of the Lord. That's a direct reference to the year of Jubilee, that 50th year of rest. Jesus brings you the freedom that the Sabbath institutions gave the people of the Old Testament. Jesus' perfect life and his death for sinners frees you from guilt over your failures and sins. Jesus' resurrection gives you freedom from the terrors of death. And because Jesus lives, you have the promise of life forever in heaven. How that frees you when guilt and death terrify you. Jesus gives the greatest freedom from the things that so enslave us. The Old Testament Sabbath was about freedom. And by God's eternal design, the modern, up-to-date version of the Sabbath comes to you in Jesus Christ. God wants the freedom of Christ to be programmed into your schedule. He wants the gospel to be relevant to your daily life. In that Nazareth synagogue, Jesus tells you how to program spiritual speed bumps into your schedule. St. Luke writes that Jesus rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. Everyone in the synagogue was watching him closely as he said, "Today, while you are listening, this scripture passage is fulfilled." Jesus brings you freedom every time you stop to hear the gospel. When sinners hear the proclamation of the freedom that Jesus Christ brings us by his atonement, you and I are given freedom. Someone asks, "When is the Sabbath today?" The answer is, whenever you're with the Word of Jesus Christ. The New Testament clearly teaches that you shouldn't get hung up on what day of the week the Sabbath is. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, Paul writes, "Let no one then say that you are wrong in what you eat or drink or do on a festival, on the first of the month, or on a Sabbath. These are a shadow of things to come, but the body itself is Christ." The New Evangelical Translation of the Bible has a footnote that does a fine job of explaining this passage. It says, "The picture is this. At times a person is only able to see the shadow of someone who is coming, but when that person arrives, the body itself can be seen." In biblical terms, the Old Testament ceremonies, like the Sabbath days and years, were but mere shadows of, or types, which foreshadowed the coming of Christ physically. Note that Paul is saying that the shadows were important to watch in Old Testament times, but now we must keep our eyes on Christ rather than on the Old Testament ceremonies, which lost their reason for existence when Christ came and fulfilled them. When is the New Testament Sabbath? It's whenever you're with the Word of Jesus Christ. There is rest. There's freedom. Every sermon you hear, every Bible study you're in, every Lutheran Hour broadcast you listen to, every devotional reading of Scripture, every Christ-centered conversation brings you the sense of freedom. That's modern, and that's up-to-date Sabbath. Why should that be confined to every 50th year, or 7th year, or even every 7th day? Why not have a little Sabbath every day? Why not program a spiritual speed bump into your daily schedule? Many mornings I wake up and I feel depressed. I'm not ashamed to admit that. I think of all the things I have to do and I feel a great weight on my chest. But I've learned through the years how to remove that weight. I get up and have my devotion, my Sabbath time, my spiritual speed bump to pace my day. Doing that will benefit you too. Why should you go out and face the world without first coming apart to be with the world's creator? Why should your schedule dominate you like a slave when Christ has set you free? Why should you wake up and drag yourself into activity when your Savior first invites you to some minutes of Sabbath? Don't just do something, sit there. Sit there with the Word of Jesus Christ. Dr. Martin Luther was once asked by his barber, a man named Peter, how to do devotion. Here, in part, is what Dr. Luther advised. "Dear Peter, I want to tell you, as well as I can, how I myself view and practice prayer. May our Lord God grant that you and many others shall profit from it. First, when I feel that I've become cold and indifferent to prayer through hostile thoughts and occupations, since the devil and the flesh always oppose and hinder prayer, I take the Psalms into my room, or if it is the right day and hour, I go to church with the congregation and begin to say by myself, as the children would repeat, the Ten Commandments, the Creed, and if there is a little time left, several sayings of Christ, Paul, or the Psalms. It is well that prayer should be made the first thing in the morning and the last thing at night, and that we diligently guard against the false and deceitful thoughts which suggest, wait a while, I will pray an hour later, I must first do this and that. With such thoughts, a person drifts from prayer into occupations which surround and hold him until the prayer of the day is omitted. Now, when the heart is aroused and has come to itself through such admonitions, kneel or stand with folded hands, look toward heaven, and think or say as briefly as you can, O Heavenly Father, blessed God, I am a poor, forlorn sinner. I am not worthy to lift up my hands and eyes to you in prayer, but you have commanded us all to pray and have promised to hear us. You have taught us the words and the way to pray. Therefore, obedient to your command and relying on your gracious promise, I come in the name of my Lord Jesus Christ. Today I speak the words one way, tomorrow another. It frequently happens that I wander into such rich thoughts. When such right, good thoughts come, we should listen in silence, and by no means interrupt them. For it is then that the Holy Spirit Himself preaches, and one word of His preaching is far better than a thousand of our prayers. Real prayer is done as attentively as a good and diligent barber fixes his mind and eyes upon his razor and the hair, and does not forget where he cuts. How much more does prayer require the whole heart, if it is actually to be a good prayer? If you want to feel freedom in the midst of your busy schedules, you need to develop these Sabbath times for devotion every day, every week. That is going to take a commitment on your part. I can't do it for you. other Christians can't do it for you. You have to commit yourself to these daily spiritual speed bumps. When you do, God will bless you. St. Luke says, "Blessed are those who continue to listen to God's word and keep it." Jack LaLanne is an expert on physical fitness. He says this about regular physical exercise: develop an intense conscience. So if you miss even one day of exercising, you really feel lousy. The same is true for regular Sabbath times of devotional rest. Develop an intense conscience about keeping regular times for devotional rest. Develop a conscience that is so intent upon regular devotion that, to use Mr. LaLanne's words, if you miss even one day, you really feel lousy. These spiritual speed bumps will bless you because of Jesus Christ. The Old Testament Sabbath and devotion today is all about Jesus Christ. Without Him, it is all oppressive rules about time management. With Him, it is freedom. Jesus spoke about freedom in John chapter 8. Jesus said to those Jews who believed in Him, "If you remain in My word, you are really My disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Amen.